Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, top of the morning, everyone, and welcome to the International Masterminders Blog Talk Radio Show. My name is Michael Baptiste, and I will be your host along with the PWI Mastermind Group. I'm here in our virtual studio with some of our, one of our, my mastermind partners, Ms. Danelle McNeil. Danelle, are you on the call?
I am. Good morning, everyone. Oh,
Danelle, you've got a lot of noise going on in the background. I'm going to mute that.
Actually,
for a
someone else. There's someone else on the call.
Your line is open. Can you just mute your line for us?
Hello.
Okay, thank you very much, caller. Definitely appreciate that. So, thank you, Danelle, for introducing yourself. Now, I know everybody's on the call, everybody's excited and ready to just jump in. So, we'd like to welcome you to our third call of the month, and we are very excited and energized this early Saturday morning to be on the air with everybody here. So, I invite you to call, text, you know, send out an email to a family member or even a friend and tell them that we're on the air right now and that they can join us on the internet by logging into www.blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. Or they can call in by phone at 661-554-9219. Now, if you want to communicate with us while we are talking on the call, you can also join us in the chat room or you can log on through your Facebook account. Now, I know everybody's got Facebook, so be sure to make a comment on your Facebook page, you know, let us know how we're doing, you know, how in terms of listening. And please, post your questions as well. We'll be monitoring the page while on the call. And so today we will begin and continue our discussion in Think and Grow Rich, Chapter 5, Imagination. Now, before we get started, Danelle, will you tell our listeners a little bit about the International Masterminders Association?
Sure. Let me pull over. The International Masterminders Association is an organization of accountability. We come together as masterminders, committing ourselves as a group on a regular basis for coordination of knowledge and effort and a spirit of harmony between two or more people in our group for the attainment of a definite major purpose in our life. When we come together, we share the knowledge of one another, we support one another in a setting of achieving our goals. We are extremely positive in our groups, and we set goals in 10 areas of our lives. Those areas are spiritually, family, health, financial, business, civic, personal, educational, recreational, and creativity. I am quite sure that everyone walking this planet has had at least one, maybe two goals and at least half of those areas. And so that's what we do. The International Masterminders Association was founded by Mrs. Anne McNeil, and she is the master builder building stronger, healthier lives and helping you to build a stronger and healthier life. Most of us know that if we have goals and that we're going to succeed in any endeavor, we have to have plans, and successful people have plans, while failures never plan, or people who fail hardly ever plan. Napoleon Hill said, education, knowledge, and influence is more powerful than any exchange of money. Before I continue with the information about the International Masterminders Association, I do want to let everyone know that we are having our mid-year retreat, our mid-year conference in Boca Raton, Saturday, August 18th. And so you'll definitely want to visit our website, www.internationalmasterminders.com, for information about that retreat. It's sure to be a treat. Michael?
Absolutely. Janelle, thank you very much. Thank you very much for giving us so much wonderful information. Guys, make sure you check us out on Facebook. If you guys are on Twitter, LinkedIn, Tumblr, I don't know, whatever social networking sites that you guys use, be sure to go on there and let everybody know about the call right now. Share it with all your friends. Just spread the word. Get it out there because this is going to be an awesome call today. Thank you very much, Janelle, for sharing. And now, what we'll do, guys, we will get into Chapter 5, Imagination. Now, imagination is one of my favorite things. I'll tell you a pretty interesting story, right after we get in. But imagination is one of my favorite things because you can literally, create anything that you want out of absolutely nothing, out of thin air. So, but what are we talking today? So the imagination is literally the workshop wherein our fashion, all plans created by humankind, the impulse, the desire, is given shape, form, and action through the aid of the imaginative faculty of the mind. Now, it has been said that anything can be created which a human being can imagine. Of all the ages of civilization, the one in which we live is the most favorable for the development of imagination because it is an age of rapid change, which is very true. Now, on every hand, we may contact stimuli through which we may develop the imagination. Through the aid of the imaginative faculty, we have discovered and harnessed more of nature's forces during the past 50 years than during the entire history of the human race previous to that time. Now, I just want to stop and point something out, how powerful that is. Basically, in today's day and age that we live in, our imagination, it surpasses the imagination of any other period in human race. I mean, you go back to the 1400s, 1600s, 1700s, even the 1800s and the 1900s. What we have today with our imagination and all the resources in today's society, the times of the past doesn't even compare. So basically, your imagination today is much stronger than the imagination of any other human in the history of the human race, years and years in the past. So that's very powerful. The imagination is very strong. And Janelle, I'd like to ask you a question, Janelle.
I'm here.
Janelle? Okay, great. Here it says, that the imagination, it's the faculty of the human mind. I mean, it's a workshop, basically, where you can create anything that you like. How is it that you use your imagination to kind of create and bring into your life anything that you want? How is it that you use your imagination?
Well, that's a good question, as are most questions. And I have to take the long way around answering this question. Truthfully, I had to first convince myself and believe that I have a creative imagination. That was actually the first step. And for the longest time, I used to say, oh, I'm not creative. I don't have an imagination. And then the International Masterminders Association actually shortly after that introduced the 10th area, which was creativity. And so with having to mastermind creativity, that first step was to stop saying that I don't have an imagination, I'm not creative, I don't have fresh and new ideas. So that was the first step. The first step was to stop saying that I don't have creative imagination. The second step was to start saying that I do have creative imagination. And once I began to say that, then that part of me really did come alive and it began to work. Okay, now I have to ask you to repeat your question, please.
Okay,
because
my question.
That is the first step. That is the first step.
Okay, thank you. My question basically, I was asking, how is it that you use imagination to attract, and get anything that you want in life?
I use my imagination, my creative imagination, to visualize, honestly, and we have to kind of not kind of, but we have to first specify that we use our creative imagination, or we have to specify whether we're using our creative imagination or our synthetic imagination, which is on page 92. And using our creative imagination involves, you know, fresh and new ideas. On page 92, down at the bottom paragraph, it states, "This faculty," meaning creative imagination, "functions only when the conscious mind is functioning at an exceedingly high level of intensity or energy, as, for example, when the conscious mind is stimulated through the emotion of a strong desire." So I have to go back to the first thing I said, believing that I do have a creative imagination and having something for that imagination to attached to, having a desire for that imagination to reach out and latch onto and work with. So while they're working together, my creative imagination and my strong desire, it just comes.
Okay. And, I mean, just to go along with that, do you think that your feelings and your emotions, do you think they also play a part in you know, using your imagination?
Definitely, of course, because if you're not feeling it, if you don't really believe, if you don't really think, if you don't really feel like you can do or you can have or you can be, and then you can fill it in with any adverb or adjective or verb that you want, if you don't really feel it or believe it or think it, then it's not real. It's fake. You're really setting yourself up for some type of, I don't know, internal schizophrenia, bipolar thing going on, because you're wanting to believe one thing, one part of the day, and then another part of the day, you're erasing and negating all of that. So yeah, your feelings and your emotions, I believe, do have to be involved in that. They have to be in tune as well. And you have to do it even when you don't feel like. You have to believe it even when you don't feel like. So it's a mind shift. Yeah.
Absolutely. And you know, I honestly agree with you, because if you aren't using the emotions to kind of guide your thoughts and guide your imagination, then I think you're just spinning your wheels and you're not really going anywhere fast. So thank you very much for that very, very useful insight. Now, what we like to do, we actually like to open up the calls, because I know a couple of callers, definitely have some questions and comments. And we like to open up the calls for anyone with questions or comments. I mean, if you have any thoughts, any ideas you'd like to share on this topic of imagination, please, we're going to open up the calls, open up the lines for you, so you can jump in and ask a question, share a comment. So if we have anybody who'd like to jump on and comment, ask a question right now, go ahead, your lines are open. Okay. So, like I said, once again, anybody who does want to comment, does have a question that they'd like to ask or share with us here on the call this morning, we strongly, advise you to jump on now, because your lines are open, callers. Okay. Well, what I like to do, I like to go back into the question we just asked. Now, how is it that you use your imagination? And it's one thing that I like to do. When I'm imagining something, I like to, take the thought or the desire of what I want, and what I'll do, I'll just project myself in the end result. So, for example, if there's this, I want to be on time to getting somewhere. What I'll do, I'll project myself, arriving 10, 15 minutes early at wherever it is that I want to be, whether it's a meeting with someone, dinner with somebody, or even if it's at basketball practice. I see myself getting there on time. I see myself getting there, getting some extra shots up before everybody, jumps on the floor. And, I just picture the end result in mind, and I just feel myself. I feel good. I feel really good, because I know that that's where I'm at. you know, because of the I use the imagination. And literally 9 times out of 10, you know, everything that I picture, whenever I envision the end result, and, you know, whenever I'm there just thinking about the end result, that's really what happens. That's really what happens. It pops up. So it's, you know, just connecting some feeling to that imagination will definitely help you manifest and bring anything that you want to experience. So with that being said, I would like to bring us to our first commercial. Good morning, everyone. You are listening to the IMA, and we are exploring the book Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on www.blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web that you like to, or you can join us live on the call or call in to 661-554-9219. If you wish to communicate with us while we're on a call, just go ahead, press 1. Press 1 so you can communicate with us, or you can join us in the chat room, or you can log on to your Facebook account. Now, if you have Facebook, if you have Twitter, you got Tumblr, you got Instagram, you got Digit, Reddit, any type of social network, go on to your profile, you know, log in, post a status right now, let everybody know that there's an awesome call going on this morning, pertaining to Think and Grow Rich. And let all your friends know that we are here. We are live on the radio show right now. Thank you. And so the next concept we'd like to get into pertains to the imagination is how to make practical use of the imagination. Now, we all know that ideas are the beginning points of all fortunes. Ideas are literally products of the imagination. Now, we're going to go into a short story, and we're going to examine a few well-known ideas which have yielded huge fortunes over time, with the hope that these illustrations will convey definite information concerning the method by which imagination may be used in the accumulation of riches. So 50 years ago, an old country doctor drove through town, hitched his horse, quietly slipped into a drugstore by the back door, and began bickering with the young drug clerk. His mission was destined to yield great wealth to many people. It was destined to bring to the South the most far-flung benefit since the Civil War. For more than an hour behind the prescription counter, the old doctor and the clerk talked in low tones. The doctor left. He went out to the buggy and brought back a large, old-fashioned kettle, a big wooden paddle, and he was restoring the contents of the kettle, and deposited them back into the store. The clerk, he inspected the kettle, looked around, reached into his side pocket, took out a roll of bills and handed it over to the doctor. The roll of bills contained exactly $500. It was the clerk's entire savings. The doctor handed over a small slip of paper on which was written a secret formula. Now, the words on that small slip of paper were worth a king's ransom, but not to the doctor. Those magic words were needed to get the kettle to start boiling. But neither the doctor nor the young clerk knew what fabulous fortunes were destined to flow from that kettle. Sounds pretty interesting, right? All right, let's keep going. The old doctor was glad to sell the outfit for $500. The money would pay off his debts and give him freedom of mind. Now, the clerk was taking a big chance by staking his entire life savings on a mere scrap of paper and an old kettle. He never dreamed his investment would start a kettle to overflowing with gold that would surpass the miraculous performance of Aladdin's lamp. Oof. What the clerk really purchased was an idea. The old kettle and the wooden paddle and the secret metric on the strip of paper were incidental. The strange performance of that kettle began to take place after the new owner mixed with the secret instructions and ingredient of which the doctor knew nothing. Now, as I go through the story, everybody, I want you to give your imagination a test. You know, really see if you can discover what it was that the young man added to the secret message that caused the kettle to just overflow with gold. And remember, this is not a story from Arabian Nights. This is not a lie. I'm not reading about an Arabian folktale here. You know, here you have a story of facts that is stranger than fiction. In fact, which began in the form of an idea. Sounds powerful. So let's take a look at the vast fortunes of gold this idea has produced. It has paid and still pays huge fortunes to men and women all over the world who distribute the contents of the kettle to millions of people. The old kettle is now one of the world's largest consumers of sugar, thus providing jobs of a permanent nature to thousands of men and women engaged in growing sugarcane, beets, other sugar-producing crops, and in refining and marketing sugar. The old kettle consumes millions, millions of bottles of cans each year, providing jobs to huge numbers of workers who manufacture these containers. The old kettle gives employment to an army of clerks, stenographers, copywriters, and advertising experts throughout the nation. It has brought fame and fortune to scores of artists who have created magnificent pictures and ads describing the product. The old kettle coveted a small southern city into the business capital of the South, where it now benefits directly or indirectly every business and practically every resident of the city. I mean, the influence of this idea now benefits every civilized country in the entire world, pouring out a continuous stream of gold to all who touch it. Gold from the kettle has built and maintains one of the most prominent universities of the South, where thousands of people have received training.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning, Michael. This is Ann McNeil, and I just, on behalf of the International Mastermind Association, want to welcome everybody to the call and just encourage all the callers once again that if they'd like to make a comment or participate in the show, if they would just press 1 on their phone and we can open that line for them to be able to talk. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you, Ms. McNeil. And and right now, Danelle, would you like to jump in?
Yes, I would. Thank you very much, Michael. Thank you. Anne, are you still on the line?
Yes, I am, Danelle. I'm here. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you. Welcome to our call. We're so glad to have you with us this morning. I actually wanted to ask you a question because on page 93 at the bottom of our chapter this week, on page 93, Imagination, Napoleon Hill states, carry out the instructions best suited to your needs and reduce your plan to writing. And I know that there's a book that you were very involved in reading maybe a year or two back, something about The Artist's Way. Is that the book?
The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron, yes.
Right, and I remember that you would share with me frequently, and probably a lot of others, a writing exercise that you used to, or that the author encouraged the readers to become involved in. Can you tell us a little bit about that, and especially as it relates to getting the creative imagination alive and in working condition, working order?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you, Danelle, for that invitation. Basically, what Julia Cameron does in her book, The Artist's Way, she suggests that you should do what she calls morning pages. And basically what that means is that every morning that you wake up, there's a lot of things that are just top of mind. And if you would just quickly, immediately get a pad and a pen and write 3 pages, not 1 page, not 5 pages, not 4 pages, but 3 pages and stop, it would help you to release whatever is on the top of your mind. And if you continue to do that daily, what ends up happening is that you begin to resolve a lot of things in your life that you don't even know they're there. And so for myself personally, her book showed up in my life in the span of 1 week 4 times. And at the end of the week, I got a call from Beecher Stewart saying, suggesting that she was at the bookstore. She wanted to know if there was a book that I wanted because she knew I liked to read and that I had her to bring me that book. So as I began to read the book and began to do her exercises, I began to realize that it was so very helpful, and it's very therapeutic, actually. It's almost like going to get help, psychological help, if you will. But I also look at it as a way of praise and worship, and also as a way of just getting your thoughts together in a creative way. And it's not really a to-do list. It's just like if you wake up and you're thinking about, you know, did I lock my car? So you would write, did I lock my car? And in the middle of that thought, you may have another thought. You don't finish the thought you're writing. You just write as the thoughts come. So I hope that's helpful, Danelle, in terms of what you're looking for.
It is. It is. And I want to go back to the beginning and very quickly, or maybe not so quickly, and work my way up to how I got to ask you about that. On page 92, Napoleon Hill talks about synthetic imagination, and he tells us what it is. Through this faculty, one can arrange old concepts, ideas, or plans into new combinations. This faculty creates nothing. It merely works with the material of experience, education, and observance with which it is fed. And on the opposing side, or on the flip side of the same coin, we have creative imagination, which is what I mentioned earlier in the call, and he states, it is the faculty through which hunches and inspirations are received. It is by this faculty that all basic or new ideas are handed over to us. It is through this faculty that thought vibrations or influences from the minds of others are received. So we can definitely assert that it's the creative imagination that is at work when we are engaged with our mastermind partners. It is through this faculty that one individual may tune in or communicate with the subconscious mind of others. And then farther down on the page, which I read earlier, this faculty functions only when the conscious mind is functioning at an exceedingly high level of intensity or energy, and we know another word for that is synergy, when we're involved and we're engaged with and by others, and our ideas just seem to pop and flow. As for example, when the conscious mind is stimulated through the emotion of a strong desire. And then over on page 92, and the 1, 2, 3, 4th chapter that begins with the word desire, the second sentence states, while the synthetic imagination is the one which will be used most frequently in the process of transforming the impulse of desire into money, you must keep in mind the fact that you may face circumstances and situations which demand the use of creative imagination as well. And if you're saying, oh, well, my creative imagination doesn't really, so on and so forth, the next paragraph states, your imaginative faculty may have become weak through inaction. It can be revived and made alert through use. Three-letter word, use. Use it or lose it. This faculty does not die, though it may become dormant through lack of use. So I teach... And I teach actually with one of my best friends, and I hear her say on a daily basis, but I'm not creative. I don't really have any creative energy. I can't think of ideas. So if she hasn't necessarily prepared for her lesson, she'll come over to my classroom and she'll say, give me something that I can do with my students. And without fail, I'll be able to give her something, some idea, some activity, some game, some lesson that she can do with her student that does not take away from my lesson plan. And that is only because I have begun the process of training or working with awakening my creative imagination. So she has it too. You have it also. We all have it. It's just a matter of usage. And then to my question to Ann McNeil, and then we'll take a commercial break after this. At the bottom of page 93, Napoleon Hill states, carry out the instructions best suited to your needs and reduce your plan to writing if you have not already done so. The moment you complete this, you will have definitely, in capital letters, given concrete form to the intangible desire.
as he continues on in that paragraph, he states, and I had this part underlined, and this is the point that I wanted to make by asking that question. Remember that the moment you reduce the statement of your desire and a plan for its realization to writing, you have actually taken the first of a series of steps which will enable you to convert the thought into its physical counterpart. And for those of us who know Ann McNeil, especially knew her in the beginning of the masterminding days before the International Masterminders Association was formed, she would encourage people to write down your goals. She would ask, do you have goals? Do you have plans? Sure, yes, I have them. Are they written down? No, I just have them in my head. Well, then they're not. And she would say often, and you can continue this with me if you've ever heard her say this, they are not goals. They are dreams. They're wishes. And now she says you must have a dream in order to have a dream come true. But after you've known her for a while, she'll then continue to school you and let you know that those dreams and those wishes and desires, they have to be written down. They have to be written down. So, again, thank you for answering that. And that's just the reason, that's why I wanted to mention that, because creative imagination, writing is the other step for working with your creative imagination. And, Michael, that will be another answer that I have for... That's not my phone, I promise.
That will be another answer. I'm sorry, Danelle.
Yes.
Yeah, can I just give a brief story in regards to the book? Our Palm Beach Life Planners group started reading this book and doing these exercises. And Dr. Betty Knighton, who's one of our group members, was sharing a story, which I'd like to share with the listening audience, going back to your point, and thank you for what you read. That was excellent. Her story was this. When she started doing the exercises from Julia Cameron's book, getting up every morning and journaling, she began to realize that when she was a little girl, she loved art and she loved drawing. But she was discouraged by her family that art would not pay and that she should consider a real profession and a real job, which, of course, she went on to have a wonderful career, get her PhD, go into the ministry, go into the corporate world. But as she began to do these exercises, she began to pick up a pen and she drew a beautiful picture of a lady wearing a hat. Now, she shared with us in the group that she had not picked up a pen to draw since she was in high school.
Wow.
And this book and this exercise brought out the creative side of her, unstopped and unblocked her in such a way that she was able to go back to drawing, which is something that she had not done in almost 40 years. And so as a result of the book, again, I want to just encourage everybody, consider doing the morning pages or journaling in the morning. And Angela Williams has a wonderful book that also includes praise and worship and journaling in her book. And Angela, if you're listening, please forgive me. I forget the name of it, but it's a prayer journal. Actually, is what it is. I want to just encourage and promote to the listening audience, and especially our masterminders, as we learn how to, as you're discussing, Danelle, get in touch with our creative side and the imagination, you know, to think outside the box and do something different. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much for that. So we will go on to a commercial break, and then we'll come back to page 94, 95 of Chapter 5, Think and Grow Rich. You're listening to the International Masterminders Association, and we're exploring the book Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. This and every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on www.blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web or join us live by calling into the show at 661-554-9219. Again, that number is 661-554-9219. If you want to communicate with us while we're talking, just press 1. Or you can also join us in the chat room, or you can log on through your Facebook account. So here we are, page 94, 95, chapter 5 of the book Think and Grow Rich, the version that makes all others obsolete. This is the original version, restored and revised. And if you're interested in purchasing this book online or at the bookstore, the ISBN number is 1-593-300-2002. Again, the ISBN number for Think and Grow Rich, the version that we use in the International Masterminders Association, is 1-593-300-2002. Michael, would you like to continue?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Now, I mean, you've done a great job making some interesting points about, you know, the use of the creative imagination and the synthetic imagination. And, I mean, they're two completely different, faculties of imagination. I personally am a fan of the creative imagination, because that's really what's been dominating our society over the past, I want to say, decade. You know, so many great inventions and so many great things that have been coming out and that have been, you know, available for us. You know, we really see the creative imagination in use in every single area of society. You know, for example, there were a couple of years ago when Facebook wasn't around. But, you know, one day some kid decided to design a platform where people can, you know, connect with each other, share pictures, videos, and, just a giant social culture. You know, he used the creative imagination to do such things. And, I mean, there are a lot of other things that, we don't have time to touch on. But, Facebook is one of the big things that was started from creative imagination. The guy just imagined it and, kind of changed our culture, changed our society, and it's actually changed the online world. So just wanted to point that out.
Michael, let's give our listeners practical uses of how to make practical use of imagination on page 95, in the middle of the page, because I have some notes here, and again, I'm sure that there are other people other than my girlfriend that I teach with that probably proclaim on a daily basis that they don't have imagination and they're not creative. And that used to be my phrase, I'm not creative. But we all know I am extremely creative. Mm-hmm. Ideas are the beginning points of all fortunes. So, okay, let me just continue. Ideas are products of the imagination. Let us examine a few well-known ideas which have yielded huge fortunes with the hope that these illustrations will convey definite information concerning the method by which imagination may be used in accumulating riches. And so I know, Michael, you've already started to talk about the enchanted kettle. And what the note that I have here on this for this paragraph is, let us do things which will stimulate and support our ideas and imagination. And Anne talked about Dr. Betty Knighton drawing, sketching after years from being in high school. And Angela M. Williams has a book that also encourages use of creative imagination. And so my recommendation to everyone who's listening, and even to those people who are not listening, if people who are listening would like to make recommendations to those people, would be, of course, number one, if you're saying that you don't have imagination, if you're saying that you don't know how to be creative, of course the first step would be to stop saying that. And then the second step would be to reverse it and say that you do have creative imagination. You do know how to use your imagination. And then thirdly would be to do exercises, to do things, to do activities which you enjoy. And as we stated, I think on the first week that we had our call, I made mention that our creative minds
becomes alive and alert and active when we're engaged in things that we enjoy. So, for example, I enjoy gardening, and I get really great ideas when I'm outside. I love being outside. Anyway, people who know me know that. I love being outside. And so when I'm outside, I do get great ideas, and my mind does. When your mind starts to wander, let it, depending on what it's wandering about and where you are, but let it wander. Let it continue to go into a place that, you know, it didn't start out being. When you're in the shower, take longer showers. Allow yourself to think and feel more freely when you're in the shower. What are some other things, Michael? What do you enjoy doing that when you're engaged in this exercise or activity? When you're engaged in this exercise or activity, your mind becomes. You notice that you have some great creative ideas. What are some things that you do?
Well, one of the things, you know, you actually spoke about is, you know, taking the long showers. For some odd reason, you know, I'm in the shower and a great idea just pops into my mind. It gets you really excited. And, you know, once I implement it, you know, I get fantastic results. And so I guess when I'm in the shower, I guess my body's relaxed and my mind really isn't focused on anything. You know, that's one of the places that great ideas come. Another thing I like to do actually is to work out, you know, go to the gym, lift weights, you know, learn the treadmill. Yeah, I play some basketball. Those are some of my really favorite things to do. And when I'm doing that, when I'm really engaged in my, you know, physical workouts or whatnot, whenever I take a break, I notice that, you know, I'll get some really great ideas, or, you know, I'll get some things that I can implement to actually, you know, bring benefit to my life right away. So another thing I like to do, like I said, is, you know, workout, exercise, go on long runs, because great ideas seem to just pop into my head. And, you know, I have a chance to just clear my mind and really, you know, get some great ideas for myself. So those
thank
are the
you,
things that
you.
I like to do.
Thank you very much for that. And I can't attest to that exercising thing, but I, like a lot of people, will not openly admit that. I hope.
Excuse me, Danelle, we have a caller on, Sharon.
Yes, so
Sharon.
I'm
sorry. I didn't want to interrupt. But I'm glad that you brought this up. One of the issues that I have been noticing about people that are trying to come up with solutions to allow their imaginations to work on creative writing, creative artistry, is that they have put so many things into their mind, always listening to music directly into their ear, or always having a multiplicity of things going on. When you are working in the yard, when you are, you know, doing things that put you at ease, it allows your mind to flow. One of the things that I talk to the kids all the time in art class, art literary class, they're always listening to that music directly into their ears. They're always trying to chitter-chatter and not pay attention to what they're doing. And I always try to tell them, just allow it to flow. Concentrate on the piece of art. Concentrate on the thought, and your thoughts will flow. And that's one of the issues that I'm finding with people more and more, is that they don't settle down. They don't get into a place where they're, the infinite. They don't connect to the infinite that allows that deep part of them to rise and come out. I would, when I was an artist, I guess I still am, but actually participated in art consistently, I would always kind of fiddle, look at my subject, think about my subject, until finally the thought and the understanding of what I was supposed to be doing would come out, and then I'd be able to work all night. But the thing that we have to get into the understanding of young people is that they have to get in a place that allows the infinite, that very deep part of them,
to rise to the top and come out. Too many people have too many things going on, so they never come in contact with the infinite. That's the point that I was trying to make.
Thank you. That is so true. That is very true. And while I was coming up with ideas or thinking of ideas, my son said music, and that's true for some people, but not for all. And we have to remember that music, especially music with words, are the thoughts and feelings of other people. And so while they can give you some ideas, remember there's a difference between synthetic and there's synthetic imagination and creative imagination. And so if you are listening to music and you're getting ideas from that, from the lyrics or from that music, then you're getting ideas that are not fresh and new. They're synthetic, and you really want to hone in on your creative intelligence. Now, we have another caller on the line, and I'm so very super, super excited about this caller. Caller, are you on the line so I can introduce you? Yes? No? Press 1. Open the line. Hello?
Danielle, excuse me. The caller?
Yes?
Okay. I'm not sure if that caller's given us their numbers. I can open their line. Okay. Thank you. I got the caller. I'm opening her line now. Thank you.
Oh, awesome. Okay. So I'd like to introduce, like, the most creative person I know. This is the baby billionaire. This is Ione McNeil first, before she's the baby billionaire. And this is my sister, before she's the baby billionaire and before she even had a name. She was my sister. Ione, are you on the line? Oh, goodness. How was that? Is she on the line now? Oh. My sister, Ione, is the most creative person I know, and she intentionally exercises her creative intelligence. If anyone goes on my Facebook page, you'll see her art that she draws. And I want to remind her, make sure you bring home my painting when you come home in August. Ione, are you on the line?
Yes, I'm on the line.
Oh, yay. Okay, great. Well, welcome to the PWI Blog Talk Radio show for the month of August. Please share with us your thoughts and your involvement and using your creative imagination and how you've been able to expand that over the years, because I've watched you do that.
Okay, cool. Well, let me just say that I've been on the whole call, and I've thoroughly enjoyed the stories and put in the practical ways of accessing your creative imagination. And personally, I would say that I access my creativity, excuse me, and even more importantly, channel my intuition or just God's voice by listening. So everybody who knows me knows that I'm a really, really, really good listener.
Mm-hmm.
And just by not thinking, there's a phrase called no mind, and it just means to get out of your mind, get out of your thoughts, get out of thinking, and just being so totally present that you're not judging your situation, that you're not classifying things that you're going through or things that you're observing. You're just observing it. And when you're in that state, some people use meditation to get in that state. Some people relax to get in that state. Kind of like when you take in that shower, you actually don't need to think to bathe, because you've
right.
done it so much. You're just in the shower and you're washing up. You're really enjoying the moment of, you know, being refreshed and being washed on. That's once you open that door, then that's when you're able to hear and to listen and to receive. And once you step out of that shower and kind of go throughout your day, if you're always thinking and always you know, anxious or trying to get to the next thing and not really being fully present, then you can't hear that thing, whether it be God's voice or creative imagination or intuition, you can't hear it because your attention is somewhere else. But if you bring your attention fully to the present, then you'll be able to hear it. So that's what I do. Most of my life is just around being fully, fully present wherever I am at that point in time. That's where my attention is. If my mind and if my body is in a place, then usually my mind and my focus and my spirit is also in that place. It's not like time traveling somewhere else. And out of it, I have wonderful works of art, or I'm able to express myself through art. And that's new, too, because along with my sister, you know, a long time ago, I never thought I was creative. In fact, I used to, you know, describe myself as not being creative because I was so many other things.
Wow.
And I didn't, you know, that part of me wasn't really encouraged, not to say that my environment didn't encourage it, but my environment encouraged so many other things that it didn't specifically encourage do art, do painting, do drawing, dancing. So I did all the other stuff, technical stuff like business and school and sports. So that stuff was creative. I mean, that stuff was encouraged. And now that I live in D.C. and New York, I myself now encourage the other part. And it's coming out, you know, wonderful. I just made meals last night of greens from the garden and salad from the garden and a lot of things, cooking for the garden. I really like cooking. That's when that's kind of like my shower moment, cooking.
Yes. Yeah, you're really creative on it, yeah.
And then I just now started exploring into drawing and not really thinking about what I'm going to draw, just kind of letting the paint or the color pencil or the crayon, you know, grace the page. And then at the end, we'll see what comes out of it. So just by being fully present and not thinking, you allow yourself to intuit that intuition, God's voice, and creative intelligence. And one way to get there is they say meditating. And there's another quote that says, prayer is asking God for what you want, and meditating is listening to God's answers. So just when we say meditating, we just really mean sitting in silence and not running away with the thoughts that come to your mind. Oh, I got to do this, I got to do that, what about this, what about that? Let them come and then let them go. But you just sit there and you sit there and you sit there and you just release it. Because you are not your mind, you are your spirit. Your mind is just a tool that you use, just like the body is just a tool that you use. But you're not the mind, you're not the body, you are the spirit, using the mind and the body. But some people, if they connect too much to the mind, it's like they connect too much to the body. They think that the mind is them, or they think that the body is them and defines them. So, yes, that's my path to creative intelligence.
And I am going to, for anyone who would like to see Ione's art, I'm going to repost the painting that she is going to bring home when she comes home in August. Hint, hint, big hint, hint. So that you can see her creative work. And, you know, I encourage everyone to get back, think about, take some time, 5 minutes today, 20 minutes tomorrow, a half hour at the end of the weekend. I encourage you to take some time and sit down and think about those things that you liked to do when you were a kid, when you were a child. I used to be on my grandmother's porch, and what little girl didn't play school? I think Ione, I think even you played school. But I used to play school. I loved playing school. I could have dolls and teddy bears lined up as my students, or I could have imaginary students that I would discipline and give A's and F's to. But I, like Ione, you know, the encouragement to do other things was present based on our surrounding and based on your environment. And it may not be what you enjoy doing as a child. It may not be what you thought that you would end up, or not end up, but what you, it may not have been, it may not be what you're doing now, may not be what you thought you would have been doing. And so I encourage you to sit down and to get quiet or be engaged in whatever it is that you enjoy doing, so that God's spirit and God's mind can speak to you to bring about your creative intelligence. Michael, I know we've been all on it. Do you have anything?
Mm-hmm. No, you guys have done a wonderful job. I was just listening because, you know, what she was sharing was very insightful. You know, I got a lot out of you know, everything that she's been saying. So, definitely thank you for that. She's done a great job.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Do we have any other callers on the line that would like to, add? We also have, another special guest from all over, special guest this morning. I have another special guest that would like to add something on about creative imagination or imagination in general. I'd like to bring on the line Malachi Monroe, the little technology professor. Malachi?
Thank you, Mama. For imagination, good morning, everyone. My name is Malachi Monroe, as I'm always do. On page 90 in Thinking Real Rich, it says, "The great leaders are different. Industry, finance, and the great artists, musicians, poets, and writers became great because they developed the faculty of creative imagination." And so I think in life, when you have a goal, it's that's an important that you imagine yourself already accomplishing that goal. And I think that'll help you drive and help you achieve that goal rather than just saying, "I want to accomplish this goal."
That is insightful. Thank you, Malachi, for that. And that's actually something that my mastermind partner, Michael Baptiste, always tells me. Many of you know I bake cookies and I sell cookies, and I shared with him that I imagined myself, you know, passing the cookie out, the packaging out, and receiving money, and he told me to take it even a step farther than that. Imagine what the person looks like. Imagine where they may be from. Imagine what their hair looks like. Imagine what they have on. Be really detailed and specific about the imagination of that activity. And so I did start to do that, and I didn't share this with him, so I'm sharing it with you now, Michael. I did begin to do that, and within a week of doing that, so many opportunities have come about that I haven't been able to keep them together in my head. I've had to write them all down and really plan and be specific about the opportunities that have come my way as a result of that. I cannot remember if those people actually looked like the people that I imagined. Several people I've only spoken with by telephone, but, you know, they have been massive opportunities that have come. So creative imagination, imagining, journaling, writing, drawing, meditating, they all work. They definitely work for the advancement of expanding your creative imagination. Michael, can we go to a break, please?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Good morning, everyone. You are listening to the IMA, and we are exploring the book Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. every single Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blog on www.blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. And for more information about the IMA, International Masterminders Association, visit us on the web at www.internationalmasterminders.com or on Facebook, International Masterminders Association. And, you know, follow us. Go on there, like our page. And the name of the book, again, is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill, and the version that makes all others obsolete. Thank you.
Also, please remember on Saturday, August 18th of this year, the International Masterminders Association will be having its mid-year conference in Boca Raton, and it is and has always been a fantastic day to spend with people of like minds and like spirits, people who have excellent positive energy and have goals and plans that they intend to achieve those goals by. Again, this week we're talking about Think and Grow Rich, Chapter 5, Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, Chapter 5, Imagination. Are there any other callers on the line that would like to engage us? Anyone else that would like to add anything else to what has already been said or add something new? No? Okay. All right, Michael, can we go on to, wait, I'm sorry, go on mm-hmm. with the rest of the chapter?
Yes, absolutely. Now, you know, the Enchanted Kettle, the story we spoke about earlier, that actually grew into Coca-Cola. So, you know, for everyone who was listening earlier, started off with a small little kettle that a doctor in the drugstore thought nothing of. And years later, grew into Coca-Cola, which everyone knows who Coca-Cola is. And it's pretty amazing that Coca-Cola actually began just from a little kettle and an idea written on a slip of paper, which I think is it's pretty inspirational because it says that anything that you want, no matter what it is, it can be brought to you, and you know the most random opportunity, and you know through that random opportunity, something so gigantic can be created that you can't even imagine. Like it'll be outside of your wildest dreams. And so, to jump back into the book, there is no standard price on ideas. Creators of ideas make their own price, and if they are smart, they get it. Now, the movie industry created a flock of millionaires. Most of these individuals who couldn't create ideas, but they had the imagination to recognize ideas when they saw them. And, you know, millions of people look at life hoping for favorable breaks. Perhaps a favorable break can give one an opportunity, but the sage's plan is not to depend on luck. It was a favorable break that gave me the biggest opportunity in my life. For 25 years of determined effort have been devoted to the opportunity before it became an asset. And that's basically the Napoleon Hill story. He, he took him 25 years to put this book together and to put the idea of Think and Grow Rich together, which is, it takes a lot of persistence, a lot of determination, and a lot of imagination to, spend 25 years fashioning all of these ideas together into this one great book that has literally changed the lives of millions and millions of people all over the world. And it's actually very, 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 very awesome concept. Danielle, would you like to intervene?
Yes, actually, I would. I'd like to jump over into page 101. Is that okay? Because it starts to talk about a different story. Is that all right with you?
Yes, no problem. Go right ahead, please.
Okay, on page 101, in the story, What I Would Do If I Had $1 Million, I am in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh, okay, 6.
the sixth paragraph, if you are, and this is a question that I'd like to pose to Ioni. And in the paragraph, it states, if you are one of those who believe that hard work and honesty alone will bring riches, perish the thought. It is not true. Riches, when they come in huge quantities, are never the result of hard work. Riches come, if they come at all, in response to definite demands based upon the application of definite principles and not by chance or luck. So this is still in the chapter of imagination, and I'd like to find out from Ioni if you, and you can be specific with the example if you'd like or not, it's up to you, but if you have had the opportunity through imagination, through your imagination, if any opportunities in your business or your creative work, if you've had any opportunities that have arisen based on not necessarily your hard work, but your imagination and possibly the other areas that we've covered in this chapter, in your book, your strong desire, your specialized knowledge, your faith and your desire and all of that, have you had opportunities that have come about as a result of your imagination in the other chapters and not so much as your hard work? I mean, not so much from your hard work. Hello? Ioni, is your phone muted? Hello?
Janelle, this is Ann. I'm sorry, I just opened her line again. All right, thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. And let me just say, one of the reasons that I asked this is because, you know, we were together, we and some others were together at the WeBank conference, and the way you were able to pull ideas and suggestions together, I mean, it was just, it was funny to watch, but in all seriousness, it was, I would say, nothing short of brilliant. So, I mean, my original question. I won't come up with any others just yet.
Yet, okay. I mean, that's a real honest question. But the answer is that hard work is not my normality.
Just be honest.
So I don't think I work hard, and that was another whole ordeal when I graduated college, and it was such a big accomplishment in a lot of people's eyes, but it was like, but I didn't really do it. But no, I did a lot. I got really good grades, but my comment was just saying that I don't think a lot. I mean, a lot of people know or think their impression of me is that I do think a lot. But again, going back to my normal being is being very, very present. So because I'm present and I'm open to the moment and the situation, then I channel God's voice all the time. So when we were at the WeBank conference, and I knew the situation, you know, we were there, we were exhibiting, we wanted to invite people to share in a wonderful executive women retreat. I was able to connect with a lot of women business owners and women executives from corporate 500 companies, listen to what they wanted, and then, you know, see how we could connect that to the retreats that we do. So even in that space, is I guess there's a there's an example used in Think and Grow Rich. I don't remember which chapter, but it talks about the man who goes into his room, which is soundproofed and kind of like boarded up, but he stays in there for like 2 or 3 hours and just sits. And when he comes out with the answer to his problem. So in my normal day living, because I'm so present, I'm open to the answers that will come. And when I'm presented with a problem, whether my own situation or a friend may come to me, I just listen to what they're saying, and then an answer will come. It's not necessarily my answer or something that Ione's mind created, but an answer will come, and I just give them the answer that I have. And a lot of times it works for people. A lot of times, whether they use it or not, they're able to use it or use some form of it or look at the situation in a different light. So I do it kind of based on that. And just in regards to the hard work, I'll use this week as an example. Last week I met with the new executive director of the AMAC organization. And AMAC is Airport Advisory Minority Council. And she, you know, needed or wanted my help on a project. And just by listening to her vision and things, I was able to give her, you know, some guidance on something. And now I'm, in a sense, helping to head up that scholarship effort, mentorship effort, internship effort for college students, undergrad and grad, and young professionals who want to go into the aviation business. So I didn't initially set out to say, oh, I want AMAC as a client or I want to be on the board of AMAC. But the opportunity came kind of like how we were saying in the chapter. It didn't come from hard work. It came from imagination. It came from desire, a desire to, you know, want to help organizations, wanting to help small businesses, and just being open. And I think that when people start to become more open, they'll be able to recognize a lot more opportunities that are around them. When you were asking the original question to me, it actually made me think of the law of attraction. I was reading a book or a series of books by Esther and Jerry Hicks, whether it be, it's called The Law of Attraction, Asking It Is Given, Money and the Law of Attraction, The Vortex. These are all names of the book in this Law of Attraction series. But basically, there's this formula, and the first formula is to, one, ask, which is the part that you do, ask for what you want. And then two is the answer is given. So God or infinite intelligence or your creative imagination gives you the answer, and that's the part that you don't have to do. But step three, which a lot of people miss, and they just miss it kind of like because, well, they just miss it. Not to their fault, but they just miss it. And step three is actually, and...
Oh, we missed it. Say that again.
Janelle, I'd like to make a comment also, Janelle.
Okay. Okay, so step three is receiving the answer.
Oh, receiving, okay.
So a lot of times it's, and the reason I say people sometimes miss it is because it doesn't come like the answer in the book. You can't just sit there and read it and it's going to be verbatim, you know. So, for example, if you have someone who says, oh, I really don't like my job, I'd rather be doing this, I'd rather be doing that, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So they're asking for a new opportunity. That's really what they're asking for, right? So they did step number one. Now when step number two comes, step number two can come in a lot of forms. it can, one, come in the form of they getting a job offer somewhere else, or it can also come in the form of they getting fired from their current position. And a lot of times people have put labels on both of that. Answer number one, they would say, oh, that's good. Answer number two, they say, oh, that's bad. But they're both answers to help you get to receiving what you've asked for. So if a person who has been complaining about their job then gets fired, instead of accepting that as the answer so that then they can get and do what they really want to do, they start complaining about, oh, I got fired, oh, this is injustice, oh, this is this, oh, this is that, and not realizing that you actually had asked for that. So, again, going back to receiving, going back to being open, going back to meditating, we just have to learn how to receive. Going back, I mean, not going back to relationships, but, you know, a lot of people talk about relationships.
Wait, pardon me, before you go into relationships, hold on. Anne, you wanted to make a comment?
Yeah, I just wanted to just clarify something, and this is not the McNeil show between Anne, Ione, and Danelle, but no one else has their hand up, and Ione made a comment. I just want to clarify that when we're talking about working, and I just want to make sure she's referring to the manual labor side of work, because thinking to some is considered also work. So if you can make the differentiation between manual labor work or mental work, or maybe just give a little bit better clarification of your point.
Well,
and again, we want to also invite, any other callers. If there are other callers on the line that are listening in, and also this Blog Talk Radio show is being recorded, and there will be people who will be downloading this show. So if you are interested in additional information about the International Mastermind Association, please go to our website at internationalmastermindders.com. Okay, thank you, Ione. You can go ahead and respond.
And just for the record, I do not want anyone calling me or emailing me that we have the founder of our organization working, okay? Go ahead, Ione.
Okay. Well, I was in response to the question, it will go back to my sister's question. What does she mean by hard work? You know, is it the physical labor part, or is it the? And if we consider thinking as working, a lot of times that is still working.
I would say the physical hard working, pound paving, physical labor, the laborious part of it, not the thinking, thinking, but the physical aspect of.
Okay, well, I'll say this to clarify my point and to tie your response in. What saves me on a lot of hard work, manual labor, you're making a whole lot of phone calls, visiting a whole lot of people, is that I intuit situations and people when they come. So, like, let's say, for example, I'm just going to use this as an example so that people really understand my point. Let's say that I was dating and I wanted to, you know, find a great man to be my husband, or, you know, other way around, whatever. Some people go at it as, oh, I have to go on 50 dates. I think that was the name of a movie, but let's say 50 dates, right? So I could go on 50 dates, one date a week, you know, and by the end of the year, hopefully I have found or have met and dated this one guy that I really want to spend the rest of my life with. To me, that's a way to get to your goal by using hard work. The way that I would more naturally do it is everyone that I come in contact with or every man that I come in contact with, I would intuit their personality. I would really listen to them. I would really watch and observe them. And I may not have to go on a date with them, or I would say 10 dates with them, before I really realize their character. I'll listen to their speech. I'll watch their actions. I'll observe their emotions. I'll observe their responses. And just by really watching somebody, I'll be able to find if I want to spend the rest of my life with this person or not. And that could just be in a matter of 3 months as opposed to one full year and 50 dates. So that's hopefully that's a good enough example for people to kind of get my point of just really when you're really fully present, you're really to observe and attract and soak in the whole experience. A lot of times we miss things in relationships. And when I say relationships, I just mean with anybody, with your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your son, your daughter. We miss it because we're not listening. We miss it because we're not really paying attention. You know how sometimes, like there's this example, and I'm sure people can understand this, but if you were dating someone and you were dating them for 3 months and you had this inclination, right? If you took that person over to your grandmother's house and that your grandmother met with them 5 minutes, your grandmother would be able to say, oh, they have this issue. And you're like, man, I've been dating this person for 3 months and I was thinking I was about to get there and you just met the person and in 5 minutes. So that's just my when you're really open and paying attention and in the moment, you're able to pick up things a lot more and save your time and energy because you're observing the entire situation without bias. So hopefully you have a question.
It does. It does. My mother says it doesn't take long, and usually our parents are good examples of it not having to take long. My mother can spot it dead on in just a couple of minutes. So I want to thank you, Ione. I want to thank you for your involvement. Thank you for calling. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your example, and thank you for being an example as well. If we do not have any other callers on the line, Michael, okay, I promise I'm going to turn it over to you. And are you still there?
Absolutely. Yes, I am.
Okay.
Yes, I am. Well, that was definitely very insightful. Ione, thank you very much for sharing it. There's some pretty good information that I'm actually going to take. I'm going to run with, if you don't mind.
Awesome.
And actually implement some of that in my life. So it's been a great call this morning. And I absolutely would like to thank everyone who was on the call. It was very, very interesting. And, Danelle, you've done a great job.
Thank you. I thought I'd kind of give you a break for that.
That's good. Okay. And, everyone, definitely we do appreciate you for jumping on the call today. And absolutely. And
again, This is the International Masterminders Association. We're talking about the book Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. We are discussing Chapter 5 this week, Imagination. Last week, we talked about Chapter 4, which was Specialized Knowledge, yes. And then the week before that, we had Auto Suggestion. Next week, Saturday, July 28th, we will be discussing Chapter 6, Organized Planning. I always like to send out or leave the call with a challenge for the listeners and those who download and share. And for this week, that challenge is to, number one, stop saying that you're not creative. Stop with the thoughts that you're not creative or that you don't have good imagination. You have awesome imagination. You have the best imagination, which is the imagination that's connected to the infinite God. And also to start claiming and asserting the creative intelligence that you have, the creative imagination that you have, and even come up with some ways of how you will.
Oh, yes,
put that to use? And do you have something that you'd like to share? No? Okay. Well, it's 9:30. We thank everyone for calling in and joining us.
And I'm sorry, Jamila. Thank you. No, I did not. I was actually on mute talking, so my apologies.
Oh, okay.
So, thank you, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you all for calling in. Thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for spending this time with us. We will hear and see you next week at 8 a.m.